Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. We're going to read just a few verses as we continue our studies in the life of Peter this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse number 31, please. Luke 22, and reading from verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. We'll end at verse 34, and we're trusting the Lord again to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I'm told that one of the most frequent traffic violations is people jumping red lights. Some people think it's no big deal. The RAC would tell you different. They have said it's incredibly dangerous. We need to stop this trend. It's Russian roulette, and you don't know what's coming the other way. I don't know whether you're an amber gambler or you jump red lights or not. I'm sure no one here would do such a thing. But we're going to look at Peter this morning, and Peter's going to jump through a red light. The Lord's going to put a warning in front of him, and the Lord's going to say, Peter, you need to be careful. You need to take care, because Satan's out to get you. Will Peter listen, or will Peter not listen to what the Lord has to say? I believe Peter is going to jump the red light, and he's going to feel the Lord miserably. We'll look on it Sundays to come when we look at the denial of the Lord. And of course, it's well known and well associated with Peter. The Lord Jesus here warns him of Satan's intention, and yet Peter boldly goes on regardless. Peter makes four declarations of loyalty to Christ. The one that we've read this morning took place in the upper room. And again in John 13, we read another one that took place in the upper room. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. When they left the upper room, the Lord was making his way to the Mount of Olives. And again, Peter makes two further declarations of loyalty. Matthew 26, verse 31, you don't have to look it up. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. And here's Peter again. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then following on, verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You can see Peter's attitude here. Peter basically said, Lord, I know most of the time you're right, but this time you're wrong, Lord. I will never, ever deny you. And Peter's given the red light. But Peter's just going to wait on regardless. I want to think first of all this morning about the foe who sifts us. Look at verse 31 of Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Think of the name here, Satan. It means adversary or accuser. Paul would want us to know all about the devil. Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And so it's important that we know the enemy this morning. And so you have his name. And then I believe here we also see his aim. His aim here was to sift Peter. But you and I need to be aware of what the devil's up to. And this is why we have the word of God. It's like Joshua when he sent out the two spies to to see Jericho before he would attack it. Or if you know the story of Gideon was allowed to creep up and see the enemy camp and to understand what they were planning and what they were going to do. If you know the story of Elisha, Elisha knew exactly what the king of Syria was going to do. And so he sent word unto the king of Israel. All of these situations, they knew what the enemy was up to. They knew what to look out for. And therefore they were prepared for what was going to happen. And I think the Lord wants you and I to be prepared. Look at Satan's aim here in verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You see the word "you" in verse 31, that's plural. If you had an Ulster Scots translation of the Bible, it would be "usins." It's not just Peter that the Lord's addressing here to begin with. He's saying every believer. Satan hath desired to have you. And he's talking to them all to begin with. You see verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee." Now he talks about Peter's singular. Peter was being singled out here by the devil for a special attack. Notice what the Lord called Peter. He called him Simon, Simon, reminding him of his old name, reminding him of his old nature, reminding him that the old flesh is still there. And you and I know that this morning, the old nature is still there. And the devil loves to play on that old nature. When you see the double use of the name, it's drawing special attention to it. The Lord's saying to Peter, "Now you need to listen. Simon, Simon." And if God's speaking to you this morning, you need to hear what the Lord has to say. There's a red light here. And Peter's just going to wade on through, regardless of the consequences. In verse 31, the Lord speaks of Satan looking to put Peter in the sift, that he might sift him as wheat. He was going to put him into the sieve. Now, some of you know what happens in the sieve. They would have put the wheat into the sieve and the chaff and everything together. And then the sieve would be shaken and shaken and shaken. And all the chaff would come to the top. The good wheat would go to the bottom. And then the chaff would be discarded because it really was good for nothing. And really what the Lord is saying is that the devil wants to get Peter into the sieve. And he wants to give him a real good shaking. And Peter's life is going to be shaken. And what the devil wants to do with your life and my life, he wants to shake us. That the good will go to the bottom and the chaff will rise to the top. That when people see your life and see my life, they don't see Christ, they see the chaff. They see nothing of Christ. They see something that we'd rather they did not see. Something that we'd rather wasn't exposed. But sometimes Satan puts us into the sieve that the worst will come to the top. And rather than seeing Christ in us, I'm afraid they'll see something of our old nature. Now the devil's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. But I'll tell you, he's got hordes of help. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, when we read about the whole armor of God, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. And so the devil is well aware of you this morning. He knows who you are. He knows all about your weaknesses. He knows all about your failures. He's looking for an opportunity to put you into the sieve that you might get a good shaking and that old nature will come to the top. That old sin that you thought was gone for good, that you'd mastered, all of a sudden you find yourself in a shaking situation and there it comes to the fore again. Maybe it's an old temper. That old temper seems to be under control and then you get into that shaking situation and there it comes to the fore. And the people looking at you don't see Christ. They see that old nature coming to the top. Something rather than honouring the Lord Jesus Christ would dishonour our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It reflects purely on the Lord. Remember, that's who he wants to get at ultimately. Not so much you, but if he can disturb and destroy the people of God, then he can really get through to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter at times was boisterous and obnoxious. Peter at times would put his foot in his mouth and the devil knew all about Peter. He knew all about Peter's pride. We'll see more about that in a moment. He knew what Peter was thinking. And Satan had a real interest in Peter because he knew also the potential in the life of Peter. Look at verse 32 again. We'll deal with it in a moment, but there's a word in it I want to draw out. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You see the word fail, it's the Greek word eclipio, where we get the English word eclipse. And you see, the devil wanted Peter's faith to be eclipsed by his faults and his flaws. I was just thinking about this morning. What happens in an eclipse? Well, the sun is hidden from view. The sun, S-U-N. You see, when we fail, the S-O-N is hidden from view. When people don't see the Son of God, they see a darkness. They see the chaff. They see our failure. They see the old flesh. They see the old nature. Do you find yourself in a shaking situation? Do you find yourself recently going through troubled waters and difficult times? And the devil has sought to fill your mind full of lots of things that God has forsaken you. This is your best way out of this situation. Don't follow the word of God. Don't be concerned about your testimony. Just preserve yourself. Get out of it. Whatever it takes, whatever you have to do, you do it. And you've really been shaken and the old chaff has come to the top again. And the sun has been eclipsed. And men and women and even boys and girls maybe in your home, they're not going to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. They're just going to see me. And sometimes that's not a pretty picture. Remember Joseph was in Satan's sieve? And how Potiphar's wife would come and come and come at him and seek to bring him down. But you know, Joseph stood firm. But as for David, David was different. David was in the sieve. The devil knew the man of God, that David was going to be a man after the Lord's own heart. And there was Uriah's wife, and David was the king, and he says, I want her, I'm going to take her, and he just took what he wanted. And he failed miserably. And you could look at David and you say, you know, inside David, there's a good man there. Do we have to look far inside to find the goodness in you? Because there's nothing but chaff to be seen publicly. Has the devil got you in the sieve? Has he given you a real shaking this morning? In a way, Peter should be complimented. Because the devil knew exactly how powerful and how useful Peter was going to be in the hands of God. You see the foe who sifts us. You see his name, Satan. You see his aim. And then you see the foolishness that sinks us. And I'm thinking about Peter, of course, this morning. We know he's going to deny the Lord. We know about his failure and his failings. Here's the seeds of it being sown. I mentioned these four different declarations. I'll be referring to them, but don't worry about turning to them. Just keep your Bible open in Luke's Gospel this morning. Do you remember in Matthew's Gospel when the Lord told him he was going to die, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And here, Peter's doing the same thing. Verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And here is what I've called Peter's blindness. Peter really didn't know himself. Peter should have learned from the past. He should have learned from when he argued against the Lord. And yet here, he seems to be blind to himself. As if he doesn't know his old self. Something else, I think Peter thought he was better than the rest. Let me read again what he said in Matthew 26. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, again I will go before you into Galilee. The Lord Jesus was going to go to the cross. His people would be ashamed of him. Now, he would never be ashamed of them. But they were going to be ashamed of him. But Peter said, though all men shall be offended or ashamed because of thee, yet I never be offended. Peter says, yes, others may be, but not me. It'll never happen to me. Peter thought he was better than the rest. Let him, Paul says, that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Do you think, yes, this could happen to someone else? I can see someone, they're not that strong in the faith. I could see them being shaken. I could see them fail like Peter, but not me. Do you think you're better than Peter this morning? You see the blindness. Peter didn't know himself. You see the better. He thought he was better. You see Peter's boasting in verse 33. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And in Matthew he says, yet I will never be offended. In Mark's account, he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all. Peter's filled with self-confidence. He was the spokesman. He was the leader. Remember his great declaration, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, I will never, 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 ever deny you. I will never, ever disown you. He was like the unsinkable Titanic. Felt they were so strong. Felt it was so invincible. They ignored warnings. They ignored different situations. Because this machine, this ship was unsinkable. And we're sailing on. Of course, you know the story. Peter was boasting. Peter was always bragging about how good he was. Do we ever get like that? You know, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? You see, if you're a person with great ability, who gave you the ability? If you're a person has been blessed with intelligence, who gave it to you? If you're good with your hands, if you're a great mum, a great dad, I don't know how God has given you or what God has given you, but whatever you have and whatever you use, it's only yours because God has given it to you. We have absolutely nothing to boast about or nothing to brag about. But Peter was bragging about what he would be able to do and what he could do. As I said, it's like saying to the Lord, generally you're right, but I think you've missed it this time. I know me better than you know me. You see the blindness Peter had. You see Peter thought he was better. You see the boasting. You see the brains that Peter had. The Lord in Matthew 26, we've already read it a number of times, said, all shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He's quoting from the book of Zechariah. And then he talks about what happens after he's risen. Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Peter said to the Lord, I know better. Lord, I know better. Yes, there's a red light, Lord, I think I can make it. I think, Lord, because it's me, I'm going to be okay. I can ignore the warnings. I can ignore the direction. I can ignore all the advice because it seems that Peter knew better than the Lord. He had more brains than the Lord. There's something belittling here as well in Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you, but I have prayed for thee. You know, Peter made little of Christ's prayers. He made little of Christ's word. He made little of Christ's warnings. He really belittled what the Lord was saying to him because he was just going to do his own thing. Sometimes God speaks to us and God gives us a clear direction. And I say to young people this morning, the Lord tells you, look, this is not right. You know in your heart it's not right. You know that's not a path you should take. You know that's not an activity you should be engaged in. You know that's not something that you should watch. You know that's not something you should say. But you know, but very often we decide to do our own things and we belittle what the Lord has said to us. We belittle His warnings. We belittle His commandments and His encouragements. And we forget about this, and it doesn't matter the places we go, the people we mix with and the practices we engage with. We just go and do our own thing. You see the belittling. And then there's a blatness here. You may have caught it in the reading in Matthew 26. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. You know what it says later on? Likewise also said all the disciples. You see, the rest of them were following Peter's example. Let me tell you this, backsliding is infectious. and you get a child of God who walks away from the things of God, so often it weakens others who want to go on with the Lord. So often they have this pull to follow them like the prodigal, and not to stay on that straight and narrow way that the Lord has set them. And here Peter's infecting other people with the things that he has said. They felt they needed to say the same thing because it seemed to make Peter look good. You see, Peter was blind. He thought he knew himself better than Christ. You see his boasting. He says, never. You see his brains. He thought he was more intelligent than the Lord. You see his belittling. And you see the blackness he influenced others. The foe that sifts us. The foolishness that sinks us. But then you know there's a friend that stands by us. Look again in Luke's Gospel. Here's something very precious. But. Just that wee word, but. But I have prayed for thee. And so often we point out in Scripture the wonderful buts. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. You see something precious. God steps in here. But. And then you see the prayer. He says, I have prayed for thee. You know, when God's people fail, very often what they get from other believers is criticism. Sometimes just gossip. But here's the Lord's response to a believer that fails: prayer. He says, I prayed for you. In heaven, it's a matter of prayer. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, the Hebrew writer says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's a lovely verse in 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin. There's no excuse for sinning. But sometimes we sin. And here's what John said. We have an advocate. It's like a lawyer. It's like a legal representation. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here's his response to our failings. It's a matter of prayer. You know, there's a wonderful prayer in John 17, his high priestly prayer. And you can see there how he prays for the people of God. Can you imagine being on the Lord's prayer list? And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one as we are. And God prays, that the Lord prays, they might be guarded, they might be kept, they might be united, they might be one. You know, later on he prays that they would be contented. He wants his joy filled in them. He wants them to be protected. He wants them to be sanctified. He wants them to be used and thrilled and satisfied. I haven't time to go through all the verses this morning, but it gives you an idea of how the Lord prays for you. Do you remember when we looked at the disciples going through the storm? Do you remember the Lord had gone up the mountain to pray? And as he's up on the mountain, he could see exactly what the disciples were going through. He prays for us when we're going through the storms. And he says he's going to pray for a Peter. It was a prayer of vision. He knew Peter, and he knew what Peter was like. It was a prayer of value, because that's where the battle would be won. It was a prayer of victory, as we shall see in the days to come. What's your response to a sinning sin? Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Have we that concern? We preached last Sunday night on the backslider. I know from the response I got that there are some here and you're backslidden. What's our response? So we pray for them. Someone described Christ's love for us like elastic. The further you get away, the deeper the pull that you feel. And you know, the elastic never breaks, because nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yes, Peter is going to lose the joy of his salvation. We'll find him weeping bitterly in a day to come. But you know, he would never lose his salvation. And we could sing about the Lord's love for Peter. O love that wilt not let me go. You see something precious here You see something prayer. The prayer is, we think of the friend that stands by us. And then you see the prospect in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Here is restoration. The Lord's praying for him. He's praying and knowing that Peter would fail, and that Peter would be restored again. And we'll see it when we come to John 21. You not only see the restoration, but you see the occupation. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when they are converted, strengthen thy brother. Peter, you're going to fail, but I'm praying for you. And when you get sorted out again, I want you to use that experience to strengthen others. You know, David used his experience. Psalm 51 is that great psalm of repentance. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. The sinners shall be converted unto thee. And David used his failure as a platform to speak to others and warn them. And the Lord says, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brother. I don't want them to jump through the red light. Some may be thinking this morning, well, maybe it's good to fail and then God will give us a ministry. They'll tell you Peter's failure cost him and David's failure cost him. If you study the life of David, he was never the same man after his failure. Never was the same man. Never enjoyed the same victories. Never enjoyed the same blessing. He just never was the same man again. I remember growing up in our home, and we had an old stove. They sort of come back into fashion in recent times. And my mother would have said, don't touch that, it's hot. And when your mother says, don't touch it, it's hot, you can either touch it or you can believe it. I'll tell you, if you touch it, you'll definitely believe it. But there's less pain if you just take your mother at her word. And if God's saying to you this morning, listen, that's hot, don't you touch it. You can believe the Lord, or you can do what Peter did and Peter got burnt. Are you in the sieve this morning? Do you feel you've been given a real shaking? The devil wants to bring that old nature to the top, that Christ might be eclipsed out of your life. But the Lord wants you in this test just to shine for Jesus Christ. You see the friend that stands by us. You see something precious, the buck. You see the prayer. You see the prospect. And here's something else. Here's the permission. This is difficult for us to understand. Verse 31 says, Satan hath desired to have you. No, Satan just couldn't do this to Peter unless it was in God's permissive will. We know that from Job. We know that Satan couldn't touch Job unless God allowed him to touch him. I don't understand sometimes why God allows it. I have to believe and I trust the Lord that it's for your betterment and my betterment. And then the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, lead us not into temptation. I think the Pope's wrong. He's wrong in a lot of things and he's wrong in this as well. He wants to change the wording. You may have seen it on the news. But the word temptation doesn't necessarily mean solicitation to evil. The word temptation can be a testing. And sometimes the Lord allows the testing to come. Not that we might fail, but rather, like Job, we might come through as gold and really shine for Jesus Christ. And rather than the Son of God being eclipsed, the Lord will be seen in all his glory, in your life and my life. Have you failed? You know, you can take great comfort knowing that God's on the throne and God's in the control of the situation. But the Lord hasn't forgotten about you. He's praying for you. And he wants you to come back. And he wants you to be where you once were. And just like Peter, he's got a ministry for you. The Lord has something for you to do. You see the foe that sifts us. You see the foolishness that sinks us. You see the friend that stands by us. John says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Peter was going to go through a difficult experience. It's never easy being in Satan's sieve. Lord, maybe some of God's people know what it is to be shaken. Lord, they know the temptation to let the old nature take over. Lord, I would just pray this morning, and Lord, we know you're praying too. If there's a child of God here and they're facing a decision to listen to the Lord or to go with the Word, to listen to the Lord or to let the devil influence them, pray God you'll give them the strength to stand up. Pray God, rather than failing and rather their faith being eclipsed, Lord, that their faith will prove to be precious and they'll come through as gold. Bless every child of God here this morning. Help us to be aware of what the devil's up to. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to sing that hymn that I